Hi everyone, today's Parak of Rambam is the 22nd Parak of Hilchos Shabbos. In this Parak, we continue our conversation about Shvusin, various rabbinic enactments which were meant to preserve the sanctity of the day, the serene nature of the day, by having people avoid doing things which are similar to malachos or which might lead one to do a malacha. Halacha Aleph. Radiyas HaPas, taking down bread from an oven which had been stuck to the side of the wall, that's how they used to make the bread, afal pi she'ina malacha, even though that's not actually a malacha to bring down that bread, asros tachachamim, Chazal still said it's forbidden, shema yavol afos, because you might come to bake. Hamadbik pas patanor mebaodiyom, if somebody stuck bread on the side of the furnace while it was still day, v'kadosh lav hayom, and then it became Shabbos, ma'atzal imenu mazon shlosh seudos, he's able to take down enough for 3 meals worth, v'omer l'acher, bo v'atzi l'lechem, and he can tell others, come, you can go and rescue this bread for your own sake. V'afal pi sheharadiyah ein malacha, even though this concept of bringing the bread down is not considered a malacha, kishu ma'atzal lo yirda b'mirda, when he does rescue, in this case, the bread, he shouldn't do so using the special thing called a baker's peel, which can bring that bread down. Rather, he should use a knife in order to do it in an abnormal fashion. Why did Chazal say it's forbidden to go to a bathhouse on Shabbos? Because of the fact that the bathhouse attendants would heat up water on Shabbos, because of the temptation to do so, and they would claim that they had done so from before Shabbos. Therefore, Chazal forbade a person from entering into a bathhouse on Shabbos even just to sweat, to schwitz a little. He's still not allowed to go. And they also decreed that it's forbidden for a person to rinse his entire body with hot water, even with hot water that had been prepared from before Shabbos. Upon of Yadavarag love mutter. However, to simply wash your face, your hands, your feet, that is allowed. Medramurim, when is that true? Bechamia or Gzeira Mishom Merchatz. When we're dealing with hot water which had been heated up by fire, because the whole concern is off of a bathhouse. Al Bechami Tveria, Ukiyot Tvehem, but with things that are naturally heated, like the hot springs of Tveria and the like, mutter lishtati pohen kogufo, those you can use to rinse your whole body with. But also really close by my aros, it's also forbidden though for a person to rinse one's body with hot water that had been from hot springs that are in a cave, because the cave has that condensed heat within it. It has that hot air and will lead somebody to sweat, and then it will turn out that it's similar to a bathhouse and therefore is a concern. Halacha Gimel. A person is able to warm himself up before a fire and then go out and wash his whole body with cold water. Aval eno mishtatev kol gufo betzonein, however, he's not allowed to wash his whole body with cold water, umeschamein keneged hamadura, and then warm himself up from that cold water near a hot fire. V'mneishem mafshir mayim sh'alav, because you cause the water that's on you to thaw out, v'nimsa kirochet kol gufo bechamein, and then it turns out that it's as if you've rinsed your whole body with hot water, because the water on you has become somewhat hot. Hamevi silon shel tzonein besoch mayim chamein, if somebody takes a bottle that's filled with cold water through hot water, afilu b'solchami tveria, even if it passed through the waters of Tveria, which normally you would be allowed to bathe in, hari heilu chamin shehu chamo b'shabbos, these are treated as hot water that had been heated up on Shabbos, v'ara surin b'rachita u'shtia. It's forbidden to wash with this water or to drink this water. Halacha dalet. Maybe adam kiton shomayim u'manichol keneged hamadura, lo b'shvo sheichamu, elekdeshe tafog tinasan. A person's allowed to take a bottle of water and place it near a hot fire, not with the intent that they should become hot, but with the intent that they should have their coldness thaw out. Similarly, you can do the same thing with a jug of oil. You can put it near a fire, assuming that your goal is to have it thaw out and not that it should actually get hot. A person is allowed to take some water or oil with his hand and then rub it on his body and have it become hot in that fashion when he's standing near the fire. This is assuming though that the water that's on his hand won't become so hot to the point where if you were to place it on a baby's belly it would burn it, which is a relatively high degree of heat. A person's allowed to heat up a garment and place it on one's belly on Shabbos. Halacha hei, amiti shel merchatz shehi meleah mayim chamim. If you have a very hot bath of a bathhouse that's filled with hot water, you can't put cold water in it because it's so hot and it will heat up that water very, very hot. And similarly, you can't go and place a jug of oil into it, because it says if you're cooking that oil when you place it in that bath. However, you are allowed to put hot water into a cold bath. If you have a hot water urn, which you removed the hot water from it, but there's still residue heat, it's permitted to put cold water into it in order so that they can thaw out. It's also permitted to pour hot water into cold water, or cold water into hot water, assuming that the hot water hadn't been or isn't in a vessel which is considered a kli rishon, the first vessel, which means to say the vessel that had been on the fire. Not that it has to be on the fire still, but that vessel that had been on the fire when the water was heated up. V'chein k'deiro sachas, afal pi shehorido me'al ha'esh, lo yitin l'tocha tavlin, avon nosein l'tocha melach, sha'melach ino mispashel el al gabe ish gdola. Similarly, if you have a boiling pot, which you've taken off of the fire, i.e. a kli rishon, you shouldn't put spices into it, but you are allowed to put salt into it, because salt won't get cooked unless it's actually on a big, big fire. And if you've poured out that dish from the pot it was cooked in into some other bowl, even though it's still boiling in that bowl, mutter lo litein l'toch ha'kara tavlin shed kli sheni ein vashel. In that, it is permitted to put spices, because a second vessel, the one that was not the one that was on the fire, but the one that has been poured out into from the one that was on the fire, is not able to cook. Halacha zayin. Ein shorin es achiltes bein behoshrin bein betzorin, avol shor oso b'toch ha'chometz. A person is not able to place chiltis, which, as we've seen in the past before, is a bitter type of drink, some sort of tonic that they would have seemingly for medicinal purposes. But the Rambam here is teaching us that you're not allowed to have it soak in either warm water or cold water on Shabbos. Avol shor oso b'toch chometz, you are allowed to have it soak in vinegar. V'im shasahu b'yom chamishi v'shishi, and had you drink it on Thursday and on Friday, harizah shor b'Shabbos b'tzonin, then you are allowed to place it in Shabbos in cold water, and then you can place it in the sun to get it warmer, and then drink it. So that way you won't get sick if you stop drinking this, which you apparently need to do for numerous days in a row. Something which has been cooked before Shabbos or soaked in hot water before Shabbos, even though right now it's cold, it is permitted to have it soak on hot water on Shabbos. Something which is cold and has always been cold and has never been placed through hot water before, you're allowed to rinse it off with hot water on Shabbos, assuming that this process of rinsing the hot water on it won't complete its cooking. However, you are not allowed to soak it for the first time in hot water on Shabbos. It's permitted to use sunlight to cook food, to heat up food on Shabbos, even though it's forbidden to use something which was heated up by sunlight to do the same thing, because somebody's not going to come and make a mistake and fail to distinguish between something which was heated up in the sun versus something which was heated up in fire. Therefore, it's permitted to put cold water in the sunlight in order so that they should warm up. Similarly, a person's allowed to place good water into stagnant, gross water in order so that it can cool, assuming that it's in a bottle or something and won't get mixed up and become nasty. And similarly, you're allowed to place something which was a cooked dish into a cistern, a place where you have water, in order to keep it preserved. This was before refrigeration. A person can mix water, salt, oil, and dip his bread into that mixture, or pour it onto a food. This is assuming he made a little bit. But if he made a lot, then it's forbidden. Because it looks like you've done some sort of cooking here. And also, a person shouldn't make very strong salt dip, which is 2/3 salt and 1/3 water, because then it also looks like you're making some sort of fish brine. Umutr lemloach beitza, it's permitted to salt an egg. Avod snon ukiyotibo, but a radish or the like, usr, that's forbidden. Bimnation nira kikovesh kvashim b'shabbos, because it looks like you are pickling pickled items on Shabbos. Vakovesh usr bimnation hukimavashal, and it's forbidden to pickle something on Shabbos because it's like cooking. Umutr litbot snon ukiyotibo b'melach v'ochel, however, it is permitted to dip a radish or the like into salt and then eat it in that fashion. Halachir alef. Mutter la'arev yayin udvash upilpilin b'shabbos la'achlan. It's permitted to mix wine and honey and pepper on Shabbos in order to eat them. Aval yayin umayim b'shemen afarsimon. However, wine, water, and balsam oil, usser, is forbidden. She'ain zeh roi la'achilas b'riyim. Because this is not something which healthy people eat. V'chayin kol kiyot b'seh. And so too with anything similar to this. Halachir yud beis. Chardol shalashu me'erev Shabbos l'machar me'machu bein b'yad bein b'kli v'nosin l'tochul dvash v'lo yitrof elam arev. If you have mustard, which was mixed on Erev Shabbos, you can then blend it together on Shabbos, either with your hand or using some sort of item, and add honey to it. However, he is not supposed to stir it very, very strongly, but instead he should mix it very softly. Shachalayim shatrof on Erev Shabbos, l'machar, nosin tocho shemen v'chomet tavlin v'lo yitrof elam arev. If you have cress, which was used to make dips, as we'll see in a moment, that was crushed from before Shabbos, so then you are allowed to, on Shabbos the next day, go ahead and put oil and vinegar and other spices that you would make this dip with on Shabbos. You're allowed to put them all together as a mixture. But you can mix it very, very well, intensely. Instead, you have to do it nice and softly. Shum shirisko meir of Shabbos. If you have garlic, which was crushed from before Shabbos, l'machar nosna l'tocha grisin. So the next day you could put this type of grain into it. Velo yeshchok, but you can't crush it. You can't grind it. Elmariv. Again, you can just mix it gently. Halacha yud gimel. Hanotel seyar miguf ha'adam chai mishum gozes. We turn to another malacha now. If somebody pulls hair from the body of a human being, so he is liable for having violated the malacha of shearing. Lafikach asr l'rchot ha'sayadayim v'davar shemay shir ha'sayar. Vadai, kigon ahala kiyotibo. Therefore, it's forbidden for a person to wash his hands with something which will for sure remove the hair from on his hands, such as aloe or the like. Umutr lachof asayadayim ba'afar levona, ba'afar pilplin, ba'afar yasmin kiyotivahen, ve'eno hoshe shema yashir asayar she'al yadosh are eina miskavin. However, if it's an item which is not a given that it's going to do so, like these various substances, so then you are allowed to wash your hands and rub your hands with these, because even if it does end up causing hair to come out, it's not something you're intending to do. Eriv davar shemasher seseir vadai, im davar sheino masher vadai, im hayarov mi davar hamasher aser lachof bo, im lav mutter. If you mix together these two different types of substances, one substance which will for sure remove hair, one which will not, and then you have a mixture of the two, so if the majority of it is something which will not remove the hair, so then you're allowed to use it. However, if the majority of it is something which will for sure remove the hair, then you are not allowed to use it. Halacha yadalit. It's forbidden for a person to look in a mirror of polished metal on Shabbos, because we are concerned that if we allow you to look into the mirror, you might come to remove loose hanging strands of hair, and this is even true if the mirror is fixed onto the wall. If the mirror isn't made from metal, so then it's permitted to look into it even if it isn't one which is set affixed to a wall. If somebody actually launders their clothing on Shabbos, he's liable for what he's done because he's violated the malacha of melabin, of whitening one's clothing. And similarly, if somebody squeezes out one's clothing from liquid, so he's liable for having done mechabis, for laundering. Accordingly, it is forbidden to push a piece of cloth or other type of cotton or the like into the opening of a flask in order to plug it up, because then you might end up squeezing out liquid from it. Similarly, a person can't clean something using a sponge unless it has a handle, because you might come to squeeze water from it. And similarly, you can't cover up a jug of water or the like with a cloth, which isn't set for this specific purpose, because we're concerned that you might come to squeeze that as well. If somebody had a barrel break on Shabbos, if somebody had a barrel break on Shabbos, he's allowed to rescue from it that which he needs for Shabbos and what his guests need for Shabbos. This is assuming, though, that he won't take with a sponge that wine or to scoop up the oil with his hands in a way that he would have done on a weekday, because if he does do it in the way that he does on a weekday, he might come to squeeze it out. V'ketan matmi mena, how can you rescue this liquid which is pouring out of this broken barrel? What should he do? Maybe kli umaniach tachta. He brings a vessel and he places it under the barrel so that way it will catch the liquid in that fashion. V'lo yavi kli acher, v'yiklu kli acher, v'tzarif, gzera shema yavi kli derech v'shas rab. You can't come and bring a kli, though, in order to catch that liquid as it's pouring out directly while you're holding it, because we're concerned that you might come to carry the vessel through the public domain. Nizdanu lo orchim, if he has guests arrive, maybe kli acher, then he's allowed to bring another vessel, v'kuli kli acher, mitzarfo l'rishon. So then he can use that other vessel to go and catch it and pour it into the other one. He shouldn't catch it and then invite guests. Eli Yasmin, he's allowed to first invite the guests and then he can start catching it in this way. And the person acts in a clever fashion. In other words, he intentionally invites guests so that he'll be able to do this. So then that is actually permitted to do. You're allowed to do that. Halacha Yud Zayin. Tich agabi big dog. Somebody has mud on his clothing. Mekas kiso mibifnim. Ve'ein mekas kiso mibachutz. Gzera shemeyachavis. So he's allowed to rub the inside of his clothing, but he's not able to do it on the outside. In other words, he can push it from the back, hoping the mud will fall off, but he can't scrape the mud off of the front. And the concern is he might come to do laundry this fashion. Umutr ligardo betziporen. Ve'ein ochoshe shemeyachavis. He is allowed to scrape it with his fingernail, and he doesn't have to worry that he might come to whiten it. A mekas case is a sudar, asur mibnei shehu milavno. It is forbidden for a person to rub a scarf clean, because that essentially is doing laundry for it. However, aval hechalak mutter. If it's just simply an outer garment, that's permitted. Mibnei shein kavanaso el lirako. Because in that case, all you're intending to do is to soften it. It's not going to clean it, therefore. And if it happens to clean it, it's not a problem. Lach yudchef. Minal osan doshen is lachlich betet ubetzoa. Mutter leshach shecho b'mayim, aval chabso asur. If you have some type of shoe, which became gross with either plaster or feces or the like, so it's permitted for him to scrape it off. However, it is still forbidden for him to actually wash it, to launder it. Garden and you're not allowed to scrape these shoes if they are new. Rather, what do you do instead? So you can apply some sort of oil to them, and also similarly, you're allowed to clean old sandals. Kar okeses shehealein soa otinov mekancho bemisamartut. If somebody has some sort of pillow or blanket that had feces on it or other such revolting substances, so then you're allowed to have it scraped off using a rag. Vimhaisa al shel or if it was on leather, nosim lahem mayim ashid tichla. So then you're allowed to pour water over it until the stain goes away. Lachi yud tes mishen slachcha yodo betit. If somebody's hand now got gross from this plaster, so you're allowed to have it be cleaned with a horse's tail, a cow's tail, or something which is normally a very firm, strong type of cloth, which you can use even as gloves, let's say, to hold on to thorns. But you can't use a cloth which you would normally clean your hands with. So that way you're not acting the way you normally act on a weekday, and then you might come to do laundry and to clean this cloth that you're using. Misha rachatz b'mayim, mistabeg ba'al lun tizo, mevia biyado, v'enchoshin shem yisro. A person who washes himself in water is allowed to dry himself off with a towel and carry it by his hand. We don't have to worry that he might come to squeeze it to have the water come out. V'chein misha nashru keila b'mayim, ma'alech pen, v'enchoshin shem yisro. Similarly, if a person's clothing became soaked with water, so he's allowed to keep on walking with them, we don't have to worry that he might come to squeeze out the water. But asr lo l'shatchan, however, it's forbidden for him to have them hung out and laid out in a way where they'll dry in that fashion. So even inside of his house, because somebody else who's passing by might see this and think that, oh, he must have done laundry on his clothing on Shabbos, and now he's laid it out to dry. Now, a very important rule in halacha, whenever Chazal said something is forbidden because we're worried about an onlooker seeing it and getting the wrong idea, so even when you're all alone, even in the innermost chambers of your home, it is still forbidden. Lachachaf Aleph. Shtei mitaros zu algav zo. Notel es ha-pekak mimitayim. U'meshikan u'machzir es ha-pekak l'mkomo. Mimnei she'enu ba lidei schita. Sharei daito she'etu ha-mayim. When you have two different mikvos, one located on top of the other one, so you're allowed to remove the plug between them and have them be connected, and thereby do the process of meshika, which can enable mikvos to be kosher in that fashion. But then afterwards, you're also allowed to go and put the same stopper back in its original place. And there's no concern that you might come to squeeze, because all along, your whole intent is that the water should flow out from where it was. Upoki kenes a bib bezudar, ubechol davar hametaltel, kadesh lo yatzufu amayim ala chalim valakilim. And you're also able to plug up a drain with some sort of garment or any other item that can be carried, so that water will not end up totally damaging your food or your other items. However, you're not to stop up this this drain in order to let the water go down into some pit. Because you might come to squeeze it in that case, in the time when it's been pressed into its proper spot to hold up the water, because that plug is so soaked with water. It's forbidden for a person to fix up the sleeves of his clothing or adjust them to make different types of cuffs, as one normally would do during the week after he's done laundry. And similarly, you're also not allowed to fold your clothing on Shabbos in the same way you would have on a weekday with your clothing that you had just laundered. If he doesn't have any other clothing to wear instead of it, though, then it is permitted for him to fold in the proper fashion, have it spread out in the proper fashion, so that way he can still wear it and look nice on Shabbos with it. This is assuming it's a new white garment, because that's something which will very, very quickly become wrinkled and dirty as soon almost as you put it on. And when he's doing so, one person's allowed to fold it, but two people together are not supposed to fold it. And the understanding behind this is because there's the possibility that one of them will come to smooth out the creases by his hands. Another malacha, and some more shvusin. If somebody dyes clothing on Shabbos, so that is one of the avos malachos. Therefore, a woman is forbidden to apply makeup to her face, because that's like dyeing. Another malacha, stitching, sewing, is from amongst the avos malachos. Therefore, it's forbidden to fill a new blanket or a pillow with soft pieces of cotton, because maybe you'll come to sew it up. However, if these things have popped out from the pillow or the blanket on Shabbos, then you're allowed to stuff them back in. Another one of the avos malachos. Tearing is from the avos malachos. Lefikach, mishen is tabcho begada bekotzim, mafrishan betzina, mesamea, kadesh lo yikra. Therefore, if a person gets caught on thorns, so what should he do? He should make sure to separate them carefully, very, very patiently, in order so that they not come to tear his clothing. And if his clothing happened to tear, assuming he was doing it gently, not forcefully, so then he's not liable for anything because he wasn't intending for this to happen. It's also permitted to put on new clothing, and if they happen to tear, so then they tear. It's not your fault. You're also allowed to crack open a nut with a piece of cloth. You don't have to worry that the cloth might tear by cracking open this nut. If somebody forces two items together, he pushes them hard together, so then that is something which he'll be liable for building something. Therefore, if you have a door which is attached to the ground, you shouldn't take them away from the ground, nor put them back into the ground in the fashion where they were, because we're concerned that you might push them together very, very hard. However, with regards to the other types of doors, like on a box, different types of containers, other doors, so then you are allowed to take those off, but you are not allowed to put them back. However, if the bottom hinge pops off, so then you're allowed to push it until it goes back into its spot. But Mikdash Machzir also, and if we were dealing with Beis HaMikdash, as we saw before, and there's no idea of Shvus in the Beis HaMikdash, so then you'd be allowed to put it right back fully. Aval Tzira El Yon Shnishmat, however, the top hinge, if it falls off, Asur Lach Tziro B'chom Makom Gzira Shem Yitzka. So then, in all places, even the Beis HaMikdash seemingly uniquely, then you are not allowed to put it back, because we are really concerned in that case that you might come to really forcefully attach it. Achavav. A person shouldn't braid hair or set hair around their forehead in some fashion, because then that is akin to building. Also, a person should not take a menorah, a candelabra, which is made up of different pieces, and assemble them on Shabbos, nor a chair or a table, which also could be reconstructed, because that also is like building. However, if you did do so, potter, then you're not liable. Shame binyan mekalim, vein tzir mekalim. But the whole idea of building applies only to actual buildings, not to vessels. You can't create something in the fashion which we define as building when it's just a vessel. And similarly, to destroy it doesn't count as destroying. If it was something which would not be tightly pushed together, so then you are allowed to put these together on Shabbos. And also, if a child needs to have their spine properly snapped into place, have the vertebrae properly aligned, so you're not supposed to do that on Shabbos, because that too is akin to building. Somebody makes a set tent, so then he's liable for having violated the idea of building on Shabbos. Therefore, as a concern of this, we don't allow you even to build a temporary or to destroy a temporary tent, because there's a concern that if you do that, you might come to do so with a more permanent tent. However, if you had built or destroyed a temporary tent, then you're not going to be liable. And it's permitted, in fact, even to add to a temporary oil on Shabbos, Ketzad, I will illustrate, Talashaisa Prusa ala Amudim, ala Kselim. If you had this garment which is spread out on pillars or over walls, Vaisa Krucha Kodem HaShabbos, and it was rolled up before Shabbos, Im Nishar Mimena Gag Tefach Matuach Hareze Moteach Eskula B'Shabbos. If left still unrolled, there was one Tefach worth of root, so then you are allowed to go and fully unravel it and unroll it on Shabbos, Achaz O'a Gadol, until it becomes a very large temporary tent. And so to anything which is similar. Person not allowed to hang a canopy over a bed, because by doing so, you've created an olarai, which we just said in the previous halacha is forbidden. However, you are allowed to sit down on a bed, a chair, or a table, even though by doing so you've technically created a tent, since that's not the way to make either a temporary or a set tent. Any tent which comes to a point, right, there's a slant from one side and a slant to the other side leading to the top, and at its top it doesn't have a tefach of width, nor in the top three tefachim is there a width of three tefachim, of a single tefach. So then that is defined as a temporary oil, and therefore if you do it on Shabbos, you are not going to be liable. Talis kfula shahayu alau chutin shi tluya behen me'erv Shabbos mudalin tosa umudal aparka v'chein haperoches. If you have a cloth which is hanging doubled over on Erev Shabbos and has cords on either end which are suspended over, so then that's allowed to be spread out and rolled up on Shabbos. And the same thing is true also with regards to a curtain. Lacha lamed. If you have a particular type of bridal canopy bed, one that was used for a chasan, so if its roof isn't one tefach wide, nor within the top three tefachim does it have a width of a tefach, since it was made for this fashion, then it is permitted for a person to establish it and to take it down. And this is assuming, though, that it is not going to hang more than a tefach over the bed. If you have an item which is going to be used to cover up a window, so if it is something which is set for this, even though it's not tied to it, even though it's not hanging on it, so then it's permitted to use it to stop up the window on Shabbos. Halacha lamed aleph. Somebody has a hat with a brim that ends up giving the person who's wearing it shade. So then he's allowed to wear it on Shabbos, even though it's providing shade as a tent might have. However, if the clothing are tightly fitted around one's head and the brim is going to be something which is going to extend in a very, very firm fashion, just like a roof, so then it's forbidden, because then you're essentially making a temporary tent when you put it on. When a person hangs a curtain or the like, he should be very careful not to make a tent while he's doing so. Therefore, if you have a very big curtain, it should be hung by two people and not by a single person who might likely come to make it into a tent in the process of doing so.
However,
However, if it's a canopy that has a roof, so then you're not allowed to extend it at all, even if it's 10 people doing so, because it's impossible that it won't be lifted a little bit above the ground while you're doing so, and thereby form an oil awry. Halacha Lamed Gimel, the final halacha in the parak, Begesh mechasebo pi hachavis, lo yechasebo es kula, emnei shenase oil. If you have this cloth, which you use to cover up a barrel, so you shouldn't cover up the entire thing, because that creates an oil, but you're allowed to cover a part of it, not the whole thing. Somebody's filtering out the liquid that he has inside of this barrel using an Egyptian basket. So he's not supposed to lift the bottom of the basket above the vessel where the liquid was held on Shabbos, because by doing so, if you lift it up, the bottom of it will serve as an oil awry, and then you will have violated this shvus of not making an oil awry on Shabbos. That concludes a rather complicated and long parak. Baruch Hashem, we're making good headway though. We're moving through Hilchos Shabbos and hopefully gaining a lot from the experience. Have a great day.